joke. He goes to the floor.
8 a.m. having arrived. I'm going to call the Committee on Taxes to order. We have one bill on the agenda today, and before we do that, we do have a quorum. Representative Lesligard, would you like to move the minutes?
Yes, I would.
Representative Lesligard moves approval of the March 10th, 2020 minutes. Any discussion? Hearing none, I'm going to call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The March 10th, 2020 minutes are approved. Before we start today, I wanted to mention that I have been in contact with the Department of Revenue. The federal government is talking about potentially extending deadlines for certain individuals and businesses due to the coronavirus. And so been in contact with the Department of Revenue. I mean, the main thing we want to do is stay in line with the federal government. So exactly how that would happen, whether or not the Revenue Department can just do that. I know they've been working on this, or we need a bill or whatever that might be. But I just want members and folks to know that we're on top of this and making sure that whatever the federal government does, that we want to make sure we conform to that. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you. Were they expecting to extend the possibility of 2 months, or do you have any idea yet?
Representative Petersburg, I have no. It's just been talk about potential of, they didn't even mention what type of individuals or businesses at this point. Who knows? So, any questions on that? Representative Schultz.
Thank you. Do they need congressional action on that?
I guess it sounds like we don't think so. That's all they can. But anyway, stay tuned as things progress. All right. So, Representative Lesligard, welcome to your own committee. Would you like to move House File 3983? For possible inclusion.
Yes, I would, Chair.
Representative Lesligard moves House File 3983. Representative Lesligard, would you like to move your A2 amendment?
Yes, I would, Chair.
Representative Lesligard moves the A2 amendment. Anything to the A2 amendment you'd like to say?
It's just clarification, Mr. Chair. Chris will answer any questions if anyone has any.
All right. Anyone, any questions for the author, Mr. Clayman, at this point? Representative Carlson L.
Mr. Chairman, maybe it's for staff, but volunteer drivers, would that include deliveries?
What? Representative Carlson, can we do the amendment first, and then he can have the bill in order, and then I'll go straight to you after he explains the bill, if that's all right.
Yes.
So, all right. So hearing no further discussion, I'm going to call up for the vote on the A2 amendment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say nay. The motion does prevail. The A2 amendment is adopted. Representative Lesligard, to your bill as amended.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for the record, this is the most important bill we're going to hear today. And that's right. In doing that, I brought dates. It's the first time that I've ever presented in front of this committee. And in doing so, I brought trees. And it's in a hard hat because from Greater Minnesota, we do everything big. And typically, you have to wear a hard hat whatever we do. So. And what we do is hard. Very good. So, Mr. Chair, in all honesty, and committee members, this is a wonderful bill. In Greater Minnesota, especially, that we rely a lot on volunteers for a lot of different things, and they're being taxed anything over $600, and it's burdensome on them. It's not like they're getting rich, and it's making it very difficult for us to find volunteer drivers to help provide services that are important to the citizens of this state, and in particular the Iron Range. So it's pretty simple. It eliminates the state's tax anything over $600. I'll open it up for questions, or I can have testifiers, Mr. Chair.
Barry, why don't we go to testifiers first, and then we'll come back to you. So welcome to the committee. If you would please state your name and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Jack Larson. I'm the Transit Director at Arrowhead Transit, AEOA.
And I'm Colette Hansen. I'm the Transit Manager for our volunteer driving program.
So who would like to start? Mr. Larson.
I'll start, and Colette will finish. Again, good morning, members. Volunteer driver programs provide flexible transportation services to meet the needs and barriers of communities. Arrowhead Transit, operated by AUA, currently has 230 active volunteers. Utilizing the network of volunteer drivers helps the senior, low-income, or less independent groups to make medical employment, education, elderly grocery, or pharmacy trips. In 2019, Arrowhead provided over 71,000 rides to individuals with transportation barriers, the majority being medical rides. Volunteer driver programs help human service agencies keep their costs low and provide critical services for clients with a variety of transportation needs. In areas where public or private transportation may not exist, volunteer driver programs are a cost-effective strategy to meet mobility needs. Such services are especially indispensable in rural areas where other modes of transportation are often unavailable. Volunteer driver programs are an economical solution and rely on community members to provide services to their neighbors.
Very good. Ms. Hansen?
Thank you. Thank you. Current law allows for reimbursement of volunteers on a non-taxable basis, the charitable, up to 14 cents. Any reimbursement or expense exceeding that 14 cents is considered taxable or is not eligible for deduction on taxes. Arrowhead reimburses volunteer drivers for all miles driven at the current IRS rate, and the volunteers are being both taxed on the federal and the state level. Unlike the business rate, which is regulated by the IRS and adjusted to account for the increase of operating a vehicle, the charitable rate can only be changed through the legislative process. The charitable mileage rate has not been adjusted since 1997, despite the escalating prices in vehicle ownership and fuel costs over the last two decades. Volunteer driving programs are in jeopardy due to the rising cost to operate a vehicle and this tax regulation. Because of this tax regulation, it is difficult to recruit and to retain our volunteer drivers. Over half of Arrowhead volunteer drivers are retired, and the volunteer reimbursement and tax regulations can influence how they are willing to volunteer for us. Lack of transportation options is a big problem in our community, facing an increase in those needing service, including those aging in their homes and using home and community-based services. Without volunteers willing to provide these services, at-risk individuals may go without these services they need, i.e. dialysis individuals in many areas that have no or impractical transportation options. Eliminating this tax burden for charitable driving can allow for the expansion of our volunteer driving program, which are a wise use of private and public money and resources. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Lestigard, do you have other testifiers?
I believe there are two other on the list.
You could please come forward. Welcome to the committee. If you would please state your name and begin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Eric Nagel, and I represent Wright County Community Action. I'm their program manager for their Aging Alliance programs, serving seniors in Wright County.
Okay. Please proceed.
Thank you. Well, since 2018, WCCA volunteer drivers have been providing rides in Wright County to older adults. We're a smaller program. We're a newer program. In 2019, our volunteer drivers were responsible for providing about 600 rides for older adults, totaling something like 27,000 miles. In the spring of 2019, one of our volunteer drivers called to tell us that she could no longer drive for us. Her anger was apparent, and she'd been to file her taxes and discovered that she'd been reimbursed more than the $600 allowed and would have to pay a tax on that entire amount. This caused some alarm for her. She was one of those people who enjoyed driving people to and from their appointments. And now some questions came up. What do I do? How could this income affect my senior housing? how could this happen, and why would this happen if I'm helping people? What would happen if they increased my rent? What if her Social Security was impacted by this tax? And one of the questions was also, why do I pay tax on monies that were reimbursed to me for gas, oil changes, and tires for my car? So after some worry and concern, she was really worried about losing her housing. What would happen? Would her rent be raised? She spoke to the apartment managers, and technically those apartment managers should have raised her rent. But because of the nature of what was going on, they decided to keep her rent stabilized. That was good, but the outcome was, and she was grateful, but the outcome was that she was still angry about the fact that she had provided this service and was no longer able to or willing to, based on the fact that she would be paying these taxes. She'd provided dozens of rides to Delano area residents in need, and could have done so without reimbursement, but I think that the anger and the fact that this was something that she was unaware of having to do, and the potential of losing her apartment was enough to make her decide to quit. The other piece of it is she had to tell her passengers, people who she'd been taking to appointments for that period of time, that she no longer was able to assist them. And the only thing that we could tell her as an agency is maybe she could stop volunteering for a year or for the rest of the year and start fresh next year. We would be able to help her, she could help us or help our agency starting fresh at zero and working up to $599. So I felt like it's imperative for our programming and programming like ours that we are able to recruit volunteers without impediment. We can't have a law in place that penalizes someone for helping out and jeopardizes their Social Security, their benefits, or their housing. And I feel like we need legislation that supports volunteering, because volunteers are worth a great deal more than the tax that's collected from that $600 or however much we're reimbursing them. And without these volunteer drivers, programs like ours would not be able to exist. And we're one of the small ones, and we're one of the new ones, and we want to keep providing that service to the older adults in Wright County. Please support this. Thank you.
Mr. Nagel, thank you very much. Mr. Harris, if you would.
Morning, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you very much. My name is Shep Harris, and I'm here representing today the Minnesota Association of Townships. Of course, I want to thank Representative Lislegard for bringing forward House File 3983, and of course, the townships are in full support of this legislation. It's kind of ironic that you're having a hearing this week on this bill, because this past Tuesday, for those who don't have townships in their districts, this past Tuesday was Township Day. It's where nearly two-thirds of the townships around the state hold their annual meetings, which is when people literally vote with their feet. They come to the town hall and they vote whether or not to raise taxes, lower taxes, make policy changes, along with their town leadership. And for those who don't know, there are nearly 1,800 townships across the state, comprising almost a fifth of our entire state's population. And what we don't really talk about is bills like this. The fabric of our community really is strongly supported in our townships by our volunteer networks. People needing rides to go to the township day, the town hall for those elections, for those services that we just heard about, whether it's trying to get the meal delivered to their house or whether they're trying to get somewhere for a doctor's appointment. And beyond just the basic service, there is a relationship that is established between these volunteers and these, in some cases, people who are seniors, some people who have disabilities. There's long-term relationships that bonds that are formed that help create and maintain and sustain that social interaction for those residents in our townships. And without those relationships, without those volunteers, that relationship breaks down, the fabric of the community breaks down. And so we are very supportive of this because we want to make sure that we're removing barriers so that we can continue to rely and enable those volunteers to keep our township strong. So again, members, Mr. Chair, thank you. We're very supportive of House File 3983.
Very good. Thank you very much. And I see at least one more testifier here. Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members, my name is Sherry Munyon, and I'm here today speaking on behalf of the Minnesota Public Transit Association and also the Volunteer Driver Coalition. There are over 70 organizations who have joined the coalition, in support of making legislative changes to protect our volunteer drivers. And these include nonprofit groups. They include local governments, area agencies on aging, regional transportation coordinating councils, and others. And I, too, want to thank Representative Lislegaard, as well as Chair Marquardt, and Representative Davids, and the rest of the co-authors that are here today for bringing this file forward for the tax subtraction. I also want to recognize three of the co-leaders on this organization, Don Simonson, Mary Quirk, and Lori Vrolson. The four of us have worked closely together, and in the interest of time, just one of us was testifying today. Members, volunteer drivers are willing to use their own vehicles and share their time to help meet the needs of others within their communities, positively affecting the lives of those residents. In 2018, our volunteer drivers provided more than 168,000 rides, served at least 77,000 people, and covered more than 9.5 million miles. Volunteer drivers provide a variety of critical services. Some have already been mentioned, such as delivering meals on wheels, providing access to health care, and other essential community services, such as grocery shopping, enabling residents to maintain their independence and to continue to live at home. In some communities, what you might not be aware of is that volunteer drivers are also filling requests from social service workers and probation officers to provide trips, while volunteers also assist medical personnel by transporting organ donations and transporting blood for transfusions. In Greater Minnesota, a trip to the primary care doctor may be a 30 to 60 mile drive. But in addition, we have very long trips that are provided as well. A trip from St. Cloud to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester may be a 160-mile one-way trip. Or a resident in Woodville Township may be driving to the VA in Minneapolis, and that's a 75-mile one-way trip. Again, those are provided by volunteers. Older adults often live with chronic health conditions and need ongoing care to stay as healthy as possible. Research tells us that non-drivers make 15% fewer visits to the doctor. That leads to an increase in preventable hospitalization and sometimes the need for long-term nursing care. Volunteer drivers increase those needed trips to the doctor. Yet many volunteers are unfairly penalized with financial consequences for their good deeds. So we support this effort to change the tax burden on them. And in closing, we realize that there's always a cost when you implement a tax such as tax subtraction such as this, but there would be a much higher cost in federal, state, and local dollars if we lost our volunteers and we had to provide those with paid trips, or if we weren't able to provide the trips and our citizens wouldn't be able to take them at all. Thank you.
Very good. And before we go to other testifiers, I'll open it up now to members, and we have a list, but Ms. Munyon, you mentioned the cost and the cost to raise that subtraction mileage reimbursement up to the business rate, matching that of 57.5 cents per mile, is $30,000. I think that is going to be money well spent. So thank you. Representative Carl Sinnell.
Well, Mr. Chairman, my question, I think, was answered. There was that lull, and I thought maybe you were going to go to a vote pretty quickly, and that's why I wanted to ask my question. But when I started to ask about deliveries, I was thinking of such things as Meal on Wheels or up my way in the northwest suburbs. There's a group that they call shut-ins, mostly older citizens, but it could be others, to get their grocery order, and then they shop at the stores, pick up the groceries, and then they deliver them. And so that's why I use the word delivery. But it sounds like from the testimony that deliveries, not moving a person, would count as well. And that, well, my example, I don't know if they get reimbursed at all. That would be another question. But at any rate, that's another component that helps a lot of people that are shut-ins for one reason or another and can't do their own shopping.
Ms. Munyon, did you want to comment on that, deliveries?
We have not been using volunteer drivers for deliveries such as that. So we've been taking them to the appointments, but not delivering the groceries. And one of the things we were cautioned about was looking for reimbursement for delivering actual goods, where it might be interpreted that they're actually providing a for-hire service.
Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Vice Chair Lislegard, for carrying this bill. But there's quite a history on this issue, and basically I became involved when a friend of mine called me up, and he's a volunteer, and he was going to do it no matter what. He just did it, but he said, you know, he explained the situation when he said, that can't be right. That makes no sense at all. It's crazy. And so I did some checking out, and he was absolutely right. And I couldn't believe it. So this has been something we've been trying to do a couple of years, and I hope it's included in the omnibus bill, because we should not be penalizing our volunteers that really do provide a tremendous service for our parents, our loved ones, our anyone in our family, our neighbors, and very, very important to do this. Now, I do wish to caution, though, this doesn't take care of the whole issue. This would take care of the issue at the state level, but not the federal level. So that would still be included as income at the federal level. But I can't believe I'm saying this about a Lislegard bill, but this is a really good bill. Thank you for hearing it.
Representative Carlson-El on a clarification here.
Briefly, I did have a follow-up then, because maybe my example about the grocery deliveries wasn't a good one, but I thought from your testimony that you referenced like Meals on Wheels.
Yeah.
And I actually, there were two parts to my original question. It was, I've got to paste this mic here, but it was the Meals on Wheels, and then I used a local example where they deliver groceries. So apparently groceries would be a good, and then, but Meals on Wheels is covered then with this, if there's a reimbursement, and that's what I wanted to clarify, because that's the bigger operation than the example I used with the groceries. So that clarifies that then. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Carlson, you're
Ms.
correct.
Munyon.
That's very, very key to our communities, is delivering Meals on Wheels.
Is that good, Representative Carlson?
Yeah, that's
very good. Thank you.
Meals on Wheels, yeah, would be, but that's the larger of the
right
example I was using.
Very good. Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Kind of off of what Chair Davids had just said, I was concerned because obviously you found somebody from Wright County to come out here, which is impressive. Thank you, Lislegard. That's fantastic. My question is, how does, if we make this change, how does that affect someone that has issues with housing and income-based housing? I'm assuming some housing is federal income-based and some is state income-based, and it just seems like, I'm not sure that this actually fixes that issue that was presented about the senior housing. I wonder if you could speak to that.
Or maybe Mr. Clayman, could you address that?
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Neill, as Representative Davids mentioned, this wouldn't change the way that that income is treated for federal purposes. So, and I think most of the housing, the affordability standards that we have at the state level typically reference those federal income definitions. So, because this income would continue to be included in income at the federal level, it probably wouldn't change, the amount of income that you have to report to meet some of those housing requirements for affordable housing.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think that's a really important distinction, that even though that was in the testimony, this bill probably would have zero effect on someone's income when you're talking about housing. So, I mean, while this is a good bill, it's not going to fix that problem. So there's a lot of things it'll fix, and there's a lot of things it won't, because this is only half of the equation, which is the state side, not the federal side. So anytime we're talking about income-based many, many things, whether it's housing or something else, this isn't going to affect that. But I just thought we should probably get that on the record, since that was presented from a testifier. So thank you.
Ms. Munyon.
Mr. Chairman, Representative O'Neill, you're right. It doesn't fix everything. There's three pieces to this: the state tax subtraction, changing the federal law, and then we're also working on insurance liability, which is an additional cost and burden on our volunteer drivers, who are often being considered a for-hire carrier or commercial driver. That's not before us today, but it's one of the three pieces that the coalition is working on.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And when we hear about volunteerism, there's a lot of perception out there that you're volunteering your time and that when you volunteer, you also donate other things. But most people just think they're volunteering their time. And previously, they also had to volunteer a lot of their out-of-pocket costs, which exceeded the reimbursement in sometimes. But if I read the bill correctly, it appears that this is only for volunteer drivers who get reimbursed. If a volunteer driver chooses to not get reimbursed, I think they're still stuck with the lower rates for reimbursement. Is that correct?
Representative Petersburg, you probably have no way to really measure that if they're not taking reimbursements. But
excuse me, Mr. Chair.
Representative Petersburg.
But I believe that income tax allows you to claim mileage at the volunteer rate at 14.5 cents. You have to verify that you drove those miles, but it doesn't require you being reimbursed for them. Is that not correct?
Mr. Kleeman?
Mr. Chair, Representative Petersburg, if you don't get reimbursed for those expenses, then you can itemize that contribution of the mileage driven as a charitable contribution deduction.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, and that was my point, but you can't do the actual cost. It's only the contribution share. I think it's 14.5 cents or 17.5 cents, something like that. Even though others for business expense get to use the full 53% as an expense as well. So, I mean, there's still an issue there where volunteers who choose not to get reimbursed still have to eat some of the costs, reimbursable costs. So it's another issue that we can look at. And Ms. Munyon, I hope that they're also going to send you to Washington and work on a bill over there, too. So,
we have introduced legislation there. It just isn't moving very fast. Excuse me, Mr. Chair. And to your point on the reimbursement, I want to make it clear that although this allows up to the federal rate, that organizations pay according to what their budgets allow.
Sure.
So there are some that may just pay the 14 cents. The average is somewhere between 35 and 40 cents that is paid. And then there are some who will pay the full rate. So it varies across the state.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Representative Petersburg's point, most people probably wouldn't meet the standard deduction anyway in terms of having it a deductible. But Ms. Bunyan, you mentioned the insurance piece, and forgive me if I've missed something in the session, but do you have a bill that's being addressed to address the insurance for the volunteer drivers, and what's the status of that?
Yes,
Ms. Bunyan.
We do have a bill. It's House File 2377. It's been introduced and waiting for a hearing.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And what committee has that been sent to?
Ms. Munyon.
Commerce Committee, Mr. Chairman.
Very good. Anything further? Anything further, Representative Fabian?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to Ms. Munyon, I know this is tax committee, but insurance is so fascinating. I need some answers here. On the insurance side, Ms. Munyon, how are people currently covered, or are some driving out there with no coverage?
Ms. Munyon.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Davids, every volunteer driver is required to have an insurance policy when they become a volunteer driver, have maintenance on their vehicle, et cetera. What has happened in some cases, and it's not across the board and it's not every insurance company, but some volunteer drivers, when they tell their agent that they're driving, are told that they are a commercial driver. And some of them are told they're for hire carrier. So they're considered the equivalent of an Uber or Lyft driver when they are only receiving reimbursement.
Chair Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other members? Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Munyon, then, if they're a commercial driver, do they have to have a CDL?
Ms. Munyon.
Mr. Chairman, not that I'm aware of, have they ever been asked for that? They've just been told that they're considered a commercial or a for-hire carrier, and some of them have had their rates increased, and others have quit volunteering.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Very good. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to testify on House File 3983 as amended? If not, Representative Leslegard, final comments.
Well, thank you, Chair and the committee. This came to me when I was met with AOA and Jack, who testified earlier. He explained the challenges that he has to get volunteers and to meet the needs. And it really struck me, to your point, Chair Davids, it's just unbelievable that we are charging people. And most of them are 55 years, want to be engaged and help people. And we are putting a burden on them where they can't do it. It's ridiculous. Regarding the insurance, there is another bill, but I wanted to get this moving forward, start here, get something done to help relieve and help our volunteer base. That's what this really was about. I know that Candy would sweeten you up and put a smile on your face, and I appreciate all your support I could get. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Representative Leslegard moves to lay over House File 3983 as amended for possible inclusion into a tax omnibus bill. Thank you very much. So, members, that completes our work for today. We have a meeting next Tuesday, a meeting next Wednesday, and then next Thursday, we're turning the committee time over to Chair Carlson A and the Property Tax and Local Tax Division. Next Thursday. Yeah, so we'll meet Tuesday and Wednesday, but Thursday will be property tax. So everyone have a very nice weekend, and thank you for your work this week. We are adjourned.